morning, church. How's everyone doing? You good? It's early, man. How many of you guys were like, it's too early, I don't know how I'm going to get there, but you made it, you're here. Give yourself a round of applause for being at church on Spring Forward. Man, we are, I hope that worship woke you up, and death was arrested. That is an anthem song for us as a church, and I feel like that's going to be our Easter song. I feel like that's going to be something we're going to just sing out for Easter, but I'm excited for today. You guys look good. It's early, and we're here. And I got some announcements for you. But before I do that, I just want to welcome every one of you guys here today. I want to thank you guys for being here. I want to honor our kids workers today. Active Kids is such an amazing ministry, and they are making making a difference in the lives of your children and the next generation. And so I'm so excited that we have a church that we make the next generation a priority. And so Active Kids, can we just give a big round of applause for all of our Active Kids serve team members? We're so thankful for you guys. We love you guys. And you're making an impact every single week. A couple things coming up before we jump into the sermon today. For those that don't know me, if you're here for the first time, my name's Adam. And I'm the lead pastor of Active Church. And I get the privilege and honor of not only just being here every single week, but I get the privilege and honor of communicating God's word to you guys about 40 sometimes a year. And then we're having more communicators that we're raising up, and God's bringing in just fresh life into this church. And it's so exciting to see what he's doing. But I'm excited. I'm excited for one big announcement I want to share with you right now. Starting on Easter Sunday this year, April 21st, we're going not just one service, but from here on out, we'll be doing two services at Active Church. Isn't that cool? So you guys can sleep in a little longer. Can I get an amen? but you'll be able to sleep in a little bit longer. We have two services for you to choose from, 9:30 and 11 a.m. So we have two services. We'll start that Easter Sunday, and I'm excited about that. Also, if you've been wondering about the serve team, maybe you're like, man, I want to get involved. This is your chance to do it now, because we're having a big party for our whole entire serve team on April 3rd. And so we're going to party, we're going to eat food, we're going to have fun, and we're having a big serve team party. So we're having, about 100 of us gathered in a room, and we're going to have good food and a good time. So here's your chance. If you onboard, you get on board today and you start serving, you'll get a serve team shirt. We'll get you connected to a ministry, a serve team, and you can party with us on April 3rd. So today, fill out that connect card. There's just a little box you can check right there that says, hey, I want to join the serve team. And what we do is every single weekend, we serve. We come together. We put our time, talent, and treasures together, and we do. We show up, and we show up early. We show up, stay late, and it's our way of. I don't think anyone should just be an attender, And if you're attending, maybe your first time, or you've been here for a little while, or maybe it's a season. You're like, man, I'm going through a lot. But I would encourage you, and I would submit to you that it's when you feel like you don't have enough time to put God first is when you need to just discipline yourself to put God first. You'll never have enough time. And I think that's why we say it like this. We put God first. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. So when we put God first, everything else kind of lines up. And one great way to do that is by serving and being a part of church life. And I never want to hear someone say, oh, I'm just a volunteer. No, you're not. You are making a difference in the lives of people. And when you serve here at Active Church, you are impacting not only here and now, but you're impacting eternity. Amen? So we're excited about that. So we want people to join. So if you want to do that, just fill out the Connect card right now and then turn it in after the service in the lobby. Also, we are doing baptisms. If you have not been water baptized, or maybe you got dunked when you're a little kid, when you're a baby like me, we believe in water baptism. Jesus did it. He told his followers to do it. And we participate in that as a sign of a public declaration of, hey, I'm with Jesus now. I'm following Christ. And the death, burial, and resurrection that Christ went through is something that I'm sharing in. So that's what baptism represents. So we're doing baptisms on March 24th after service. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have tacos because Jesus loves tacos. Amen. And so do I. So, yeah. We like tacos here, but we're going to have a fun day. We're also on that day, March 24th, mark your calendars. We want you to, if you have a child, and you want to get them dedicated, this is a great time. What we do is we bring you and your family up on platform and your child, and what we do is we pray as a church over your family, and specifically we dedicate your child to the Lord. And some people ask me about baptisms for kids. Again, when they can understand what sin is and what they've been forgiven for, certainly we can baptize. But when they're smaller, what we do is we dedicate them unto the Lord and we pray for them. So this 2 weeks from today, March 24th, you can do that. You can sign up online under the events tab at myactivechurch.org. That's myactivechurch.org. Click on events and you can sign up to be baptized or have your child dedicated. So you can also see Marissa in the lobby right after church, and she can help you out at the Connect Center. You guys, yeah, did you guys get all that? All right, cool. Well, hey, let me pray for us, and then we're going to jump into the Word of God. Is that cool? All right, let me pray. Father God, thank you so much for today. I pray, God, that you would use this time, use my voice as your voice, Lord. Speak through me, and God, let us just draw near to you right now, God. We ask that you would just do a work, and Lord, that we would not leave here the same. And we pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, Caitlin. Thank you. I started this church about a year and a half ago. It's crazy to think, it's just a year and a half ago, this was just a concert venue. And now every single Sunday, as Ali said, this becomes God's house for a few hours. And but as we've been doing this thing called building the local church, I've had a chance to connect and see some amazing stories. I look out in the crowd and I see God story after God story, people that have said yes to Jesus or came back to Christ or just had taken they're taking their walk seriously. I've seen God move in this place, and I've had a front row seat, and it's been incredible. And I think that's one of the greatest privileges, is that we get to see people's lives impacted. And oftentimes I feel like I don't do a good enough job of communicating the life change that's happening, but it's amazing. But at the same time, and I know this to be true of in a room this size, that although some of us are smiling on the outside and we might be participating in worship, on the inside we're not smiling and we're kind of hurting. And maybe it's not you personally, but certainly you are probably connected to someone right now that if it's not you, you might be sitting next to someone, you might work with someone that's going through a season of heartache, of trial, you might be going to school with someone that's not in a good place, you might be related to someone that is in a season of heartache, and if you're honest, if you were to take a moment to think for a minute, you probably could think of someone that God is putting on your heart. And I think about, as we look at this sermon series, we're taking apart and looking at old hymns from the Christian faith. And I didn't grow up in the church singing hymns, so I don't know a lot of these. So this is like new to me. But for some of you, you look at these old hymns. Like last week, we talked about Amazing Grace. And some of you remember singing that as a kid in your church. Or this week, we're going to be looking at What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And today, I just want to encourage you, if you are in a place where you've been maybe going through a season of loss, financial challenges, marriage issues, maybe school and, life has you feeling full of anxiety and depression. I hope by the end of our time today that you would know that God is wanting to have a relationship with you, not just on Sunday, but on Monday through Saturday, 24/7, that God is actually drawing you in today so that you can begin getting closer to God through prayer, through the Word, and that you would know that God is for you and not against you. So I pray that some of you today who are facing a burden would know that, and that you would begin to pray and to connect with God in a new way. Oh, we're in this series, and I want to share with you a couple of verses from the song, the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Here's what it says. I'll share it with you. And this is the words of a poem or a hymn that we now sing. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I want to read to you out of the book of Philippians, letter to the church that Paul wrote in the first century the Philippians. It's chapter 4, verse 6. And here's what he says. Don't worry. Look to your neighbor and say, don't worry. Look to your second neighbor, second choice and say, hey, you too. Don't worry. I was coming over here. Had my eye on you. Okay. Don't worry about anything. How many of you guys right there, you're like, oh, I failed. I don't do that. Don't worry about anything, but instead, pray about everything. This is a common theme throughout Scripture, that when we are filled with anxiety or when we are going throughout our day, that we're not to worry about things. Jesus at one point said, who can add a single hour to his or her life by worrying about something? He says, look at the birds of the air. They don't worry about what they're going to eat or what they're going to do or how they're going to survive. God takes care of the birds. And Jesus says, how much more important are you than a little sparrow? Like, it's like this idea that God is constantly trying to get your attention to say, stop worrying about that because you can't do anything about that. I once read a statistic about how many things we worry about and the things that we stress about. And there's something like 90% of the things we end up worrying about are things that never even happen. So we're wearing this, like, if we knew how much physically we were doing to our body by worrying about stuff, we would be afraid of worrying. But here's what Paul says. Don't worry about anything. He said, pray about everything. That's our mandate today. And today we're going to talk about prayer. I want to talk to you about prayer. And I hope that you would know that God wants to talk to you today. So let's talk about some misconceptions about prayer. I don't know about you, but when I first kind of started coming to faith and hanging out with Christians and doing that whole thing, I was kind of nervous because they wanted me to pray in a circle and they wanted me to talk out loud to God. And that was really, I was nervous, okay? I'm just going to be honest. I was nervous. So here's a couple misconceptions. Number one, prayer is complicated, people think. Man, prayer is complicated. And I grew up in the Catholic Church and I thought you had to have beads and like grandma had, you know? And I thought you had to have beads, and I thought you had to pray certain prayers. And I thought, man, in church you had to, like, recite certain things. And if you've ever been to a Catholic church, like, if you don't say the right thing, you feel dumb. You're like, okay, I don't know what do you say? Lord, hear our prayer. Okay, so I had to, like, recite certain prayers, and I felt kind of like this is complicated. And then I got saved. In 2004, I started going to a Christian church. I started a relationship with Jesus. And then everything was different. It was like this whole next level prayer. I remember going to like these college group experiences and I'd be like, you know, I'm like 21 years old and there'd be people throwing down prayers like Father God, Daddy, Father God, Papa, Heavenly Father, Jesus, Jehovah Jireh, Nisa. I'm like, what are you saying? Like they know Jesus's nicknames and stuff. I'm like, I barely know Jesus. And I didn't know that you had to pray for certain things to the Holy Spirit, and there's certain things you got to bind up in Jesus' name and rebuke. And I'm like, what do I got to do? I got to bind them up? Okay, I'm going to bind them up. And I start, like, I'm confused now, but I'm like, I need to learn this stuff because this is important. And then I found out you have a prayer closet. So then I thought, I got to get in my closet. Legit, I was like, do I get in my closet? Because you talk to someone at church, I was in my prayer closet this morning. And the Lord spoketh to me. I'm like, I fall asleep if I'm like talking to God in the morning, I'm going to fall asleep. You got to bind up the devil. These are all things I didn't know. And so when you could come into a Christian setting like this, you could kind of get this feeling like you don't have what it takes. Like other people are like professional prayers because then you go to like your life group and there's a professional prayer there. And they're like, they're calling out Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, they're saying, Lord is my banner. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord is my healer. You're going, I don't know all his nicknames. And it can be a little bit overwhelming. Another misconception is prayer is boring. Like, man, it's so boring to pray. Like, God you just sit there and talk to the ceiling. Like it's just this boring thing. One day, Jesus asked his disciples to pray and just pray for him. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he came back, and they were all asleep. And I can relate to that, okay? There's times where I just want to pray. When I first started my walk with God, I'd want to pray to God. It'd be late at night. You know, you hit the pillow. Your head hits the pillow, and you're like, all right, God. Today was awesome. And before you get to, like, anything relevant, you're already falling asleep. Like, it's a good prescription if you need to go to sleep. So some of you guys just need to start praying more. And you don't need the, you know, Tylenol PM or whatever. You get ADD prayers. I'm about you, but like, I'll be like, Lord, Father God, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Bread sounds good. Lord, I want some toast. You know what would be good is In-N-Out. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm in left field. I'm not even thinking about God. I'm thinking about a delicious double-double from In-N-Out. Like, prayer could be, people think it could be boring. Some people think prayer doesn't work. You might be there. Maybe you're here today, and you're like, yeah, I just got invited from a friend. They told me they'd buy me Firestone afterwards, so I'm here. And God bless you. Glad you're here. But maybe you think prayer doesn't work because you prayed for that person that was sick, remember? And she didn't get healed. She died. Or you prayed for that person, that marriage, and it didn't, like, they ended up getting divorced. And you're like, God, where were you in that? Or you prayed for, you know, something to happen. Like, God, I need you to reconcile this relationship. I need you to fix this thing. And we pray and we labor in prayer and we really believe. And so we think, well, if I really believed it and I was sincere about what I wanted, but God didn't answer the prayer, then maybe, just maybe, God doesn't work, or at the very least, he doesn't care. And I think we need to realize something, that we're not praying to a far-off God. We're praying to Jesus, who the Bible says is not just a God that's distant, but he is a God that considers us our friends. He's a God that says, I call you friend. He says in John 15:15, Gospel of John, Jesus says, I never called you servants, because a master doesn't confide in his servants. He's saying, a master doesn't go to his servants and have these, you know, commiserate about life and share with them their deepest, darkest, you know, feelings and emotions. A master doesn't do that. He goes, no. Conversely, he goes, I call you my most intimate friends. He called his disciples, those that follow Jesus, he called them close friends. And I would submit to you today that God is calling you his friend. That he doesn't just love you. He didn't just die for you and raise again. That as a matter of fact, when he looks at you, he says, you're my friend and I got your back. How many of you guys need a friend that has your back no matter what? I know I need that every single day. And I have that in Christ, and so do you. You have to realize that the lion of the tribe of Judah, the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, calls you friend. I don't know about you, but like, that gets me pretty fired up. I'm excited that God calls me friend. So the author of this hymn that we're going to look at today, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, his name was Joseph Scrivens. And this guy was, he was an Irishman from the 1800s, and he had an interesting life. He had a kind of a tough life. He was engaged to his childhood sweetheart. He loved this woman. He was a young man, age 21, and he was engaged to this beautiful woman that he loved. One day, they were supposed to meet in a meadow. They were both riding on horseback in the 1800s. The story goes that as she was getting close to this river, this lake that they were supposed to meet at, that she bucked off her horse. She fell off her horse, hit her head, and drowned in the lake. And it's a terrible story, right? It's like super sad. He shows up and she's deceased, and it broke him. So much so that he moved himself from Ireland to Canada in the 1800s. He ended up working as he was a handyman, and he only did things for people that couldn't afford it. This guy was like a Good Samaritan. As a matter of fact, his nickname in Canada was the Good Samaritan. He had fallen in love with Jesus and started reading the Gospels, and he really took this vow of poverty out of the Beatitudes and kind of took an approach to life like, I'm going to serve people that can't do anything for me. Well, one day, a young woman, a few years later, named Elisa Roche, kind of started looking at your boy Joseph and was like, this guy is the real deal. Well, she wanted to pursue him, and sure enough, they got engaged. Unfortunately, weeks before the wedding, Elisa Roche came down with pneumonia and died at age 23. He's going, I can't get a break. What would you do if the two people that you love the most in this world suddenly, just as you began to build this relationship, passed away? Some of you have been there, maybe, with a loved one or a close person in your family, maybe recently. My heart breaks for you. But I want to encourage you with something, that this Joseph Scrivens didn't just throw up his hands and say, okay, well, God doesn't care, because obviously if he knew how much I love these women, then he would have certainly spared their life. Like, if he really cared, he didn't do that. As a matter of fact, he ended up never marrying again and never even pursuing another woman. But one day when he was older, his friend came over to his house because his mom was sick and he couldn't afford to make it back to Ireland. And so he wrote his mother a poem. And his friend picked up the poem, as the story goes, and says, Joseph, what is this? Did you write this? And he looked at his friend and he goes, well, to be honest, really, it was the Lord and I who wrote the song. And that song is the poem that we sing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And here's what it says. It says, I want you to feel the weight of these words. Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. It's when you are at your lowest, God is saying, I'm here. It's when you are feeling the most down, when you're feeling the most, there's weight in your, someone in your family, someone you care about, there's weight that they're under, there's something that's happened. Jesus is saying, take it to me in prayer. Check out what James, the half-brother of Jesus, says in James 5:16. He says this, pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. When you get around people that can pray, and you get around people that know God, and you ask them to pray for you, God does something in that. Your prayers have the ability to calm a storm in someone's life or your own life. Your prayers have the ability to heal the sick. Your prayers have the ability to comfort people. Your prayers can restore broken things. Your prayers can push back the darkness in this world. Because let me tell you something, there's darkness in this world. If there wasn't, why would God call us to be a light? To be a light on a hill, to be a city on a hill, so that people might see us and go, you know what? There's something about those Christians, the way they love people, the way they interact with people. There's something different because it's dark, but when they're around, this place gets better. God wants you to be a light when you show up to work. And guess what? People aren't always going to be nice to you. And when you want to be a light, guess what? There's always someone trying to snuff you out. Be light anyways. I think so many of us, if we understood the power that God wants to give us, we wouldn't just pray sometimes, we'd pray all the time. Scripture says that we should pray for one another. We should care for people. We're not serving an unloving, uninvolved God, that we serve a God who is right there, so close. So how do we pray? How do we do this? Because I think sometimes we go to church, we're like, okay, cool, like, yeah, it was an awesome song, and I worshiped, and I felt really encouraged. Now what do I do? How do I do this? I want to give you some tips. I want to give you four practical ways on how you can pray so that you can connect to God personally, so that when you need God, when you call on God, you'll be able to have that relationship, that connection to God. So here's what you do. Number one, how do we pray? Here's a few ways. Sometimes you talk to God. Sometimes if you're taking notes, you talk to God. I don't look at prayer like as this reverent, you know, I mean, I revere God, like I have a fear of God, but when I talk to God, I talk to him like I'm talking to my wife. Hey God, how you doing? Hey, good morning. Lord, what do you have for me today? Like, you have to have a conversation with God. And so here's what Paul wanted us to get. When he was in a Roman prison, he was wanting to preach to Rome. He wanted to reach these people, and he ends up in a prison. And here's what Paul writes from a prison in the first century. Here's what he writes. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Watch this. Tell God what you need. My pastor used to always say, you have not because you ask not. What is it that you're worrying about today, but you haven't even asked God about yet? It's that job interview. It's that financial thing. It's that loan. It's that relationship that's broken. Maybe it's something in you, an addiction, a thing that you can't get over. Have you asked God to help you yet? Tell God what you need. He's not mad when you say, God, I need this. He's not a genie in a bottle. Like, you don't rub him the right way. Hashtag Christina Aguilera. You don't just like, okay, God, I need this, I need that, I need this. But God is waiting for you to tell him, I need help with this addiction. I keep doing this thing that's hurting people. I keep being toxic in relationships because when people get close to me, I end up messing it up because I haven't dealt with some stuff from my past. Help me, God. I need your help with this decision at work because I don't know if we're supposed to go right or left. So here's what you do. You ask God. You tell him what you need. What a novel thought. I think we have to be so religious and Christian and we have to sing a song. And why don't we just say, good morning, God. I need wisdom today. Good morning, God. I need patience today. My coworkers are so mean. My husband is such a jerk sometimes, Lord. Give me patience for this man. Don't nudge him right now, ladies. Don't do it. Pray. Tell God what you need, and then here's what you do. And thank him for all that he's done. You're thanking God. I thank you that you did. You know what happens when you have an attitude of gratitude? Here's what happens. This is the secret. When you give God thanks for what he's already done, it reminds you that he came for you, he came through for you then, and that he can come through for you again. Amen? That he came through, he said, I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. So when you come into a season where you don't know what to do, and you're scared, and you're nervous, and you're going, I don't know what to do, you pray. You ask God. You tell him what you need. And if you don't know how to do it, find someone that prays. We have prayer partners after service, or during the altar call time. I'm going to give you a chance to respond. There's going to be some prayer partners on the side over here. This isn't just for us to come and when we're having a need where we're like, I'm just giving my life to the Lord for the first time. We want to partner with you in prayer so that whatever you're going through, we can say, we're going to tell God what we need, and then we're going to believe by faith that God is already moving on your behalf. That's the God that we serve. So tell him. So how do you pray? You talk to God about what? About everything, Paul says. Prayer is a nonstop awareness of the God who is always with you. It's a conversation. It's like when I text Stacy, hey, what are we doing tonight? Hey, babe, I love you. How you doing? I'm like, when I pray, I throw up these prayers to God. Hey, God, what should I do right here? Hey, God, what do you think about that? Hey, man, I'm sorry, God. I shouldn't have said that. It's not like I pray for long periods of time. I don't pray for hours on end, just FYI. Us professional Christians, we're not like in our prayer closet, door locked, just before the Lord praying for hours and hours. I have done that like a few times. But if I'm honest, I don't pray for long periods of time. However, there's not a long period of time that I don't pray. So I'll say like, God, I need you right now. God, help me with this right now. What do you think about that, God? I'll kind of throw prayers like that to God, but I don't just do this all day long. It's almost like my daughter and her best friend, Vivian. When we were in Vegas, we got this beautiful home on the west side of Vegas. It was right next to the Red Rocks. If you've ever been to Summerlin in Las Vegas, it's not just the Luxor and the MGM Grand. Las Vegas is beautiful. And we bought this beautiful home when I was a youth pastor in Las Vegas. And it was a great yard. We had this big trampoline in the backyard. It was a great patio. And Hadley used to love going on her trampoline. Well, when we moved in, we didn't know there was a little girl next door, the same age, named Vivian. And one day, Hadley was jumping on our trampoline. And all of a sudden, we see this little girl's head pop up, Vivian, on the other side of the fence, literally on the adjacent fence. And Hadley's like, oh my gosh, Dad, there's a little girl over there. So then we're kind of doing the thing. We become friends over the fence. We're like, what was that, like Home Improvement? It was like Wilson. For those of you guys that are under the age of 25, yeah, it was a show back then, back in the day. And so Hadley and Vivian become best friends. And when we sold our house to move here to Plant Active Church, it was a sad day. Vivian and Hadley cried and cried and cried. They were best friends. Imagine having your best friend right next door to you. You know what she did? You know what Hadley and Vivian started doing? She'll say, Daddy, can I borrow your phone? And she'll say, Siri, FaceTime Vivian. And we know Vivian is actually Pat's phone, her dad. And so when Pat Larzik gets a FaceTime call from Adam Magana, he knows I'm not trying to FaceTime. I'm like, what's up, bro? How you doing, buddy? Because guys don't do that very often, okay? But he knows that his daughter is going to get to talk to a friend. And here's what they do. They put her on FaceTime, and she goes, "Hey, Vivian, what do you want to do? Let's play." And they play for hours on FaceTime. Some of us need to invite God into our daily activity. We need to, hey, God, do you want to FaceTime? And put him there, and we need to start hanging out at the office with God on FaceTime. God, what do you think about this? God, hey, I need your help on this. God, I know that you're there, so you're hanging out with me today. Because when you invite God into every area of your life, the things that have to go must go. And the things that God wants to encourage you, they begin to rise up in your life. Some of you guys need to invite God into your life via FaceTime every single day. It's like you call him and you never hang up. You call him and you're saying, God, let's have a conversation today. You don't have to walk around with your eyes closed praying prayers. You don't have to, especially don't drive and do that. That's dangerous. You ever accidentally do that? You're like about to pray for someone on the phone. Let me pray for you. Father, no. I don't want to meet you yet, Jesus. Does that make sense? It's a dialogue. Prayer is a nonstop awareness of God. Number two, how else do you pray? Sometimes you vent to God. You vent. You complain. Look to your neighbor and just give him your best complaining look. Like, ah. You're just like mad. You ever just have those moments? It's like you call your best friend. Do you ever just call your best friend or text them and you just text their full name, like all caps? Or like, you won't believe this. Like, you know when your best friend texts you like, bro, you know you're going to get some venting. That's okay. Why can we vent to God? Well, Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:7, watch this. Cast all, everyone say all your anxiety upon him. Why should we do that? Because he cares for you. Cast all of your worries, cast all of your nervousness, cast all of your anxiety, the thing that feels like you've got your stomach in knots, that decision you have to make, that conversation you've been avoiding, that person at work that you need to have that talk with, cast all of your anxieties on him. Why? Because God cares for you. He's your friend. He wants to know what's going on. He already knows. He wants you to know. He already knows what's going on. He wants you to know that he knows. How do we do that? We cast all our anxieties upon him. Sometimes you listen to God. Number three, sometimes you listen to God. John says in chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep know my voice, and I know them." God's going to speak to you. Sometimes it's like, just be still before God. God, I'm listening. What do you want to say? You know the best way to do that is through fasting. If you ever want to hear from God, here's a couple things. Number one, read your Bible every day. You have it on your phone now, the YouVersion Bible app. Download it and read your Bible. If you want a foolproof way of hearing from God, go to your Bible app every day for 5 minutes, just 5 minutes. Read through a proverb and read through something in the New Testament, read through a psalm, whatever, and ask God to speak to you. He'll speak to you. The next thing you could do is just when you ask God, you could say, God, I'm gonna stop doing something for a couple days so I can hear from you. I'm going to drink water or juice only. I'm going to stop eating certain things so that I can tap in to you. You have to understand that God wants to speak to you, and sometimes he'll speak through a person. Ever had that? Someone's like calls out something in your life, you're like, whoa. I was telling my buddy, I don't know if Darren's here today, about 10 years ago, we were actually about 11 years ago, we were sitting in Valley Bible Fellowship, big church. I was a new Christian. I was kind of like just, I wasn't really serving. I was an usher. I was serving as an usher. That's what I was doing. It was a Wednesday night service. Pastor Ron was bringing a great word at VBF Bakersfield, and Darren was sitting right next to me. I was telling someone this. I was telling, who did I tell earlier? Anyways, I told the story earlier, and Darren looks at me and goes, oh, bro. And this is like, Darren had just gotten saved. Like, we're not trying to, like, we're not seeking out signs and wonders. Like, some people just want to see the signs and wonders. I wasn't like that. I was just like, we're going to church. We're going to hear God. It's going to be great. He goes, bro, in the middle of church. I go, what? He goes, dude, you're going to be up on a stage one day speaking to people. I just saw you. Like, he goes, I just saw you with Pastor Ron. It was the weirdest thing. And I'm like, yeah, right, bro. That's what I do for a living now. He saw something in me. God used him as a vessel to speak something out over my life. Now, I wouldn't submit to you that that's a great prescriptive way to go out and just start talking about people and say, I see this in you and I see that. Back in the old, you were wrong, they killed you. So, fair warning. But God will see, he actually will give people to you on purpose to speak wisdom to you. Like, hey, you might want to not treat your spouse like that. You know, hey, let me tell you about something I used to go through. I used to struggle with this. It might be a good idea to fill in the blank. God will bring people in your life. That's why it's so important to get in a life group. Because you need people to call things out in your life, because you're going to have a blind spot. Just like when you're driving down the road, and do you ever have like the friends that are like, hey, am I good? You're like, what? I didn't know I was supposed to be in the car with you, like helping you drive, but yeah, you're fine. It's the most nervous thing. Stacey will say, am I good? I'm like, oh, I'm texting right now. I have no idea. But you have a blind spot in your life, and God wants to, check this out. God wants to bring someone into your life, maybe through a life group, maybe through a serve team, that can help you point out the blind spots in your life in love and say, can I help you with this? Because I see this in you. What if you had people in your life pointing out blind? What if you had people that you trusted that could speak to you? You know what God will also use? If you listen, a closed door or an open door. I'll give you an example. We were praying about a building on Johnson Avenue, an old church. It was being used as they were building devices there, like weird like lab stuff, big machines. But it was a church. It was like a 20,000 square foot church. By the way, keep praying for a church. I love the Fremont, but we want our own home one day. So I'm just believing for expansion. Come on. If you're with me, say amen. All right. If you know anybody. But we were believing for this church. And we're like, God, if it's you, then make a way, God. If it's not, then close that door. One day, I'm driving to North County. I'm actually supposed to talk to my board that day about the building. We were really going to move forward with it. We felt like it was the Lord, but we're like, God, if it's not you, just let us know. Close the door. Well, I'm making my way over Johnson Avenue, come up Tank Farm, head down Johnson. I'm almost to the hospital, and the church was nearby the hospital right there. And I see black smoke billowing from this neighborhood. And I thought, that's odd. And as I drive up, I see the church that we're about to sign a lease for on fire, burned to the ground. I promise to God, that is the truth. And I get out of the car. I'm in disbelief. You remember this brand I called you? I'm in disbelief. I'm like, oh my God. I get it. We're supposed to say at the Fremont Theater. Amen? Why? Sometimes God will use a closed door in your life to show you that that's not the place to go. Somehow he'll speak to you through an open door to say, hey, I want you to go this way. Lean in. But watch for the closed doors. Sometimes it's obvious, right? So, yeah. I was like, God, you sure do love. The funny part is I was there, and I was taking a video to send to my board, and the place is burned down. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, guys, you're not going to believe this. And no joke, the fire person that was investigating, she goes, excuse me, what are you doing? I was like, I'm just taking a video because I thought it was funny, and I realized I'm like suspect number one. I am the prime suspect. So immediately I was like, oh, hello, I'm Pastor Adam, Bishop Reverend Maganya, the local church ordinance of, yeah. I swear, it's funny, man. Sometimes you listen to God. It's a two-way conversation. Billy Graham said, prayer is simply a two-way conversation between you and God. It's a two-way conversation. Sometimes you talk, sometimes you listen. And finally, at all times, you give thanks to God. At all times. How do I know that? Because the Bible says so. It says to give thanks. Don't worry about anything. Instead, Paul says, pray about everything. Tell him what you need. Thank him for all that he's done. And then, watch what happens. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. It's not until you first tell God what you need. Cast your anxiety. Say, God, I'm not going to follow the pattern that I've been following. Because some of you, here's your pattern. Worry about it. Eat all the Doritos. Vent to your best friend and tell them all the stupid things that you're like, this is what's going on, that's what's going on. And we all need that best friend. We don't tell God, and then sometimes if we're not careful, we turn to other stuff that's going to help, not help us, not going to help the problem either. And we end up getting in a cycle. The definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over and over and think, oh, it's going to change next time. Maybe God's saying, I need you to get this. Come to me with your fear. Come to me with your worries. Come to me with everything that you are worrying about today, and I will give you peace. Then you will experience God's peace. How many of you guys need God's peace somewhere in your life today? How many of you guys know a coworker or a friend or a loved one that could use God's peace today? I know I do. I need it every single day. And his peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. The Bible tells us, God's word tells us, don't just worry about it. Pray about it. At all times, give thanks to God. Here's what the hymn says. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Some of the pain that you've been going through, God's saying, I didn't call you. That's not my plan. It's needless. You need to bring it to me. He says, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Listen, church, true peace isn't the absence of problems. True peace is found in the presence of God. True peace is not the absence of all your problems. True peace is found in the presence of an almighty God that knows everything about you, knows all your junk. There's no use in hiding it. He knows what you did last summer. He knows that you watched that Netflix program and binge watched it and didn't do your homework and didn't study for finals. He knows that you made mistakes in your marriage. He knows that you've compromised in that area. He knows everything about you, but here's the good news. When you come to him, not when you avoid your problems and not when everything's going good, because we like to think, if I could just get rid of this problem, if I could just live without these problems, then my life would be fine. God says, no. The only place that you can find peace is in my presence. Today, I encourage you, stop running from the thing that you're worried about. Stop trying to avoid those areas of your life that you're like, man, I have so much anxiety. Look at him head on and say, God, I'm giving this to you because I can't carry this anymore. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. He's not trying to yoke you up with a bunch of problems and a bunch of headaches. He wants to take them off of you. Come to me. If you're tired, heavy laden, I want to give you rest. That's the God that we serve. Psalm 145:18 says, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. What if today you called on God? What if today you said, you know what? I got some stuff going on. I need to call on God right now. What would it look like this month if you could just, you know what? If that thing that's been holding you up, what if you could surrender that at the foot of the cross today? What kind of peace would you have? What kind of joy could you live with if you confessed that to God? Maybe even confessed it to the person that you've wronged. What kind of joy would you have if you could just say, you know what, God, I'm no longer going to carry this with me. I'm laying my burdens down today because I know you love me and you care for me. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's what will happen. But it can't happen unless you let go, unless you lay it down. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, that true peace isn't the absence of any problem. It's really true peace is found in your presence. Lord, I pray right now that if anyone's here today and they need peace right now. They need peace that surpasses understanding. If you're here today, if you hear my voice and that's you, I just want to know who to pray for. If you need peace in an area of your life that you're going through, then just raise your hand. Who am I praying for today? Just raise your hand. Amen. Yeah, just you need peace. Say, I need more peace. Father, I pray for peace for every single person that raised their hand, God. And Lord, I pray, God, that peace would be found in your presence, God, that they would seek you first, Lord, as the Bible says in Matthew 6. Lord, that they would put you first in everything they do, God, and that you would guard their hearts and minds. And maybe for you today, you're here, and with eyes closed and heads bowed, as I pray, you're feeling a draw, like God's drawing you closer, and you've never maybe had a relationship with God. I'm here to tell you today, that feeling of God drawing you, it's his loving kindness that's leading you to think differently. It's his love and his mercy that's saying, I don't want just to be someone that has a part of your life. God wants to be in every part of your life. And so if you're here today and you've never made that decision to put God at the center of your life, I want to encourage you right now to make that decision, to settle once and for all that I'm going to follow Jesus with my whole heart. Because God wants to give you peace, but he can't give you something if he's not in relationship with you. And you're saying, well, I thought if you just believed God. Believing in God is not good enough. You have to actually, the Bible says that you need to confess that he is Lord, believe in your heart that he died and rose again, and you'll be saved. It's by faith that you've been saved, through grace. It's by grace you've been saved, through faith, that you can actually say, God, I need you to come into my heart and live. It's surrendering and yielding the power of your life, and you're saying, God, I give you control. You have to make that decision. And I pray that, as I pray right now, that some of you would make that decision today, that you'd surrender your life to God and see the peace that he could put if you surrender it to him. If that's you, you're here today and you need to make a decision to follow Jesus, or you need to come back to Christ, on the count of three, I just want to know who I'm praying for. I will not embarrass you. I will not ask you to come forward. I just want to know who I'm praying for. With eyes closed and heads bowed, if that's you, on the count of three, just say, I need Jesus. Just raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Pop your hand up right now. God sees your hands. Sees your hands. Amen. 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 Keep it up. God sees your hand. That's awesome. Anybody else say, God, pray for me. Just pray for me, Pastor. God sees your hand. Amen. Let's pray together as a church. I want to lead you in a prayer. Just repeat after me. This is a song. This is a prayer of just saying, God, I want to invite you into my life. So no one prays alone at this church. So let's all pray together as a whole church family. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I give you my life. I surrender it to you. I believe that Jesus died and rose again for me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me, for making me new. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Hey, give a big round of applause, church. Come on, that was awesome. Man. Right now, if you need prayer for anything at all as we worship our God together, please make your way to the sides. We have prayer partners that want to talk to you, would love to partner with you. Let's worship our God. Let's stand together. Let's worship. Come on.
Praise go up as the walls come.